The week an AI agent ran a ransomware attack start to finish with no human in the loop. That's not a research paper. That's not a proof of concept at a conference. That happened in production. And if that doesn't reframe how you think about detection timelines and attacker economics heading into Q3, I'm not sure what will.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen, alongside Jordan Reeves. This is your Saturday Week in Review for the week ending July 4th, 2026. If you couldn't keep up this week, and honestly, this was one of those weeks where even keeping up full-time felt insufficient, here's what mattered and what it means. We're covering four major themes today. First, AI crossed a line this week, both as a weapon and as an attack surface. Second, the ransomware ecosystem is consolidating and industrializing in ways that should change how you model risk. Third, nation states are targeting the tools we trust, encrypted messengers, SaaS platforms, developer tool chains. And fourth, governance pressure is building on multiple fronts, from data transfers to breach disclosure to export controls on AI itself. Let's get into it.
So let's start with AI, because two stories this week together paint a picture that I think the industry hasn't fully absorbed. Sysdig published research on a threat actor they're calling Jade Puffer. An LLM autonomously exploited a critical RCE in Langflow, CVE-2026-33017, CVSS-9.3. Then moved laterally, stole credentials, found the production database, encrypted it, and wiped backups. No human touched the keyboard at any point. This isn't theoretical. This is documented.
And the business implication is stark. Our detection playbooks, our SOC workflows, our incident response runbooks, they are built around human attacker behavior. Dwell time assumptions, the pace of lateral movement, the patterns of credential access. When you remove the human from the kill chain, you compress timelines in ways that break those assumptions. If you're a CISO budgeting for MDR or XCR, you need to be asking your vendors right now, what is your detection model for AI speed intrusions?
And then pair that with the second AI story. Researchers demonstrated that DeepSeek generated functional, novel, cross-platform browser ransomware that abuses a legitimate Chromium API. Runs on Windows, Linux, macOS, Android. No OS-level persistence needed. It lives entirely in the browser. The significance isn't that someone made ransomware. It's that a frontier AI model produced a genuinely novel attack technique that a human hadn't published before. It found a real Chromium API and weaponized it.
So you've got AI generating novel offensive techniques and AI autonomously executing full attack chains. Those are two different capabilities converging. And then on the defensive side, we saw the agent jacking research from Tenet Security. They achieved an 85% success rate hijacking AI coding agents, Claude Code, Cursor, Codex, through a single crafted Sentry error event. No authentication required. The agent executes attacker code with full developer privileges. EDR didn't fire, WAF didn't fire, IAM didn't catch it.
Sentry acknowledged the flaw is, quote, technically not defensible, and the exposure extends to Datadog, PagerDuty, Jira, any integration feeding data into AI coding agents. The Cloud Security Alliance classified this as a systemic MCP vulnerability class. If your engineering teams are using AI coding assistants connected to these platforms, you have an open channel from the internet to code execution with developer privileges. That's not a hypothetical risk. That's architecture.
The through line here is that AI is simultaneously lowering the barrier for attackers and creating entirely new attack surfaces in our own tool chains. This is the week that became undeniable.
Let's shift to ransomware, because the landscape moved this week in ways that matter structurally. Keylin has emerged as the dominant ransomware as a service operation. InfoSecurity Magazine reported on the consolidation trend. After law enforcement disrupted Lockbit and others, the ecosystem didn't fragment into 100 small groups. It reconsolidated around fewer, better resourced platforms. Keylin is running corporate-style operations with negotiation infrastructure, affiliate management, the works.
And the FBI issued concurrent warnings about partnerships like Team PCP that are enabling what they called industrialized attack scale. This is important for how CISOs model the threat. You're not facing a fragmented landscape of opportunistic criminals anymore. You're facing well-resourced platforms with the operational maturity of a mid-sized SaaS company.
The initial access picture came into sharp focus too. FortiBleed, the mass credential harvesting campaign against FortiGate firewalls, was directly linked to InKing and Lynx ransomware operations. Researchers found operators tied to FortiBleed infrastructure actively working negotiation panels for both groups. So the pipeline is clear. Exploit perimeter device, harvest credentials, handoff to ransomware operator. And they're chaining this with a suspected Nextcloud zero day to broaden access.
Simultaneously, Anubis ransomware affiliates are exploiting CitrixBleed 2, CVE-2025-5777, alongside bring-your-own-vulnerable-driver techniques and supply chain credential abuse. The current initial access playbook is diversified and multi-vector. If you're relying on a single control, just patching, just EDR, just network segmentation, you're going to lose. The adversary is designed to route around any single defense.
And CISA added the SharePoint RCE, CVE 2026-45659, to the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog. CVSS 8.8, deserialization flaw, patched back in May. If you haven't patched SharePoint in 6 weeks, you've been exposed to active exploitation for at least part of that window. This class of SharePoint vulnerability has been the entry point for full domain compromise repeatedly.
The irony is obvious, but for CISOs, the lesson is concrete. If you have board members, executives, or senior leaders who are involved in regulatory oversight, investigations, or geopolitically sensitive business, they are high-value targets for commercial spyware. Mobile device security for these individuals cannot be treated as a consumer problem. You need managed device policies, lockdown mode, regular forensic checks. This is an executive protection issue now.
The State Department put a $10 million bounty on two Russian state-linked groups targeting Signal and WhatsApp accounts of political, defense, and intelligence-adjacent targets. That bounty level, that's the same tier as rewards for information on major terrorist organizations. It tells you how seriously the U.S. government views the compromise of encrypted messaging. For CISOs, if your executives are using Signal for sensitive communications, which many are, those platforms are now confirmed active attack surfaces for state-sponsored operations.
And on the Chinese side, Mustang Panda is actively compromising Indian government networks using Zoho WorkDrive as a command and control channel. This is the SAS C2 problem. The adversary's command traffic is flowing through legitimate cloud services that you can't blanket block without breaking business operations. Your DLP and your proxy logs won't flag traffic to Zoho as suspicious, because half your workforce probably uses Zoho legitimately.
North Korea rounded out the nation-state picture with the Poland Writer campaign. 108 malicious packages and browser extensions published across NPM, Packagist, Go, and Chrome simultaneously. And critically, they're not just creating new packages. They're compromising legitimate maintainer accounts and pushing malware through trusted existing packages. If your developers pulled dependencies this week without verification, you may already have exposure.
The common thread across all four nation-state stories is that adversaries are operating inside trusted channels. Legitimate SaaS, legitimate package registries, legitimate messaging apps. The perimeter-based mental model is thoroughly broken.
Now, governance. Two stories that deserve CISO attention heading into the back half of the year. Max Schrems announced a formal legal challenge to the EU-US data privacy framework, triggered by a recent Supreme Court decision he argues undermines the DPF's legal foundation. If successful, this would be the third invalidation of a transatlantic data transfer mechanism.
If you're a multinational, you've been through Safe Harbor and Privacy Shield. You know the drill. But the operational disruption of a third invalidation would be enormous. Data flow architectures, vendor contracts, cloud deployments, all of it potentially needs restructuring. Legal and security teams should be running contingency scenarios now, not waiting for a ruling.
And Bitdefender published survey data showing that a majority of cybersecurity professionals have been told at some point to conceal a breach. In the context of SEC disclosure rules and state notification mandates that create personal liability for CISOs, this is career-ending and potentially criminal territory. The pressure to suppress is real. The data now confirms it's widespread.
If you're a CISO and you receive that instruction, document it. Get it in writing. Consult outside counsel immediately. The regulatory environment has shifted. The personal liability exposure is real. This is not a risk you absorb for the organization.
Two quick additional governance notes. DHS launched the Anchor CI program to replace public-private critical infrastructure coordination that was eliminated in 2025. If you're in energy, finance, or healthcare, evaluate participation. And the Commerce Department lifted export controls on Anthropic's Fable and Mythos cybersecurity AI models after Anthropic implemented classifiers blocking 99% of jailbreaks. That sets a precedent for how dual-use AI models will be governed, conditional release with technical guardrails. Expect that template to be applied broadly.
And one law enforcement win worth noting. The FBI seized NetNut, a residential proxy service operated by NASDAQ-listed Alarum Technologies, built on a 2 million device botnet, a publicly traded company's commercial service running on compromised infrastructure. And a 19-year-old scattered spider member was extradited from Finland to face charges. International coordination against English-speaking cybercrime groups is clearly accelerating.
So, stepping back, what defined this week?
This was the week AI became operationally real on both sides of the fight. Not as a buzzword, not as a future concern. An AI agent ran a ransomware attack autonomously. An AI model generated a novel attack technique. And AI coding assistants were hijacked through legitimate developer toolchains. If your 2026 strategy doesn't have AI threat modeling as a first-class workstream, you are behind.
And underneath that, the fundamentals remain brutal. Ransomware is consolidating, not fragmenting. Nation-states are operating inside your trusted services. Your perimeter devices are under active exploitation. The governance landscape is shifting under your feet. Next week, I'd expect follow-on activity from PolitRider and FortiBleed. Patch SharePoint and Citrix if you haven't, and have a serious conversation with your engineering leadership about AI agent security in developer workflows.
That's the week. Daily Show returns Monday. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a safe 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Stay sharp.